It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. It is a beautiful Tuesday because we have wall-to-wall ball. We have wall-to-wall ball all day long. I love days like this. You can get your little gamble on very early because at 12 o'clock, we got a little Rangers and Tigers action today, baby. Day baseball. I'm fired up about that. We'll be breaking that down, I promise you, before 12:10. We're going to get you locked, stocked, and ready to rock and fire. Yesterday was not the best day for I only lost the pick I gave you yesterday. Very, very sorry about that. It does happen. Baseball was a little bit weird yesterday. It sometimes can be that way. But I feel pretty good about today's card, and I was very grateful that yesterday the Cubs came through. You know what I'm saying? My goodness. Thank you, Cubs. Extra innings against the Diamondbacks last night. So they got me back to even. So, yes, even Steven, baby. So we're going to rock and fire today at 12:10. And then don't forget, not only do we have baseball on, but basically, let's be real, the playoffs start tonight. The play-in tournament begins. It's the West Coast side of things. I am ecstatic to break these games down. I'm fired up tonight to watch playoff NBA action, and it's going to get, I think, pretty entertaining. There's some crazy things that a lot of people are out there floating around. Of course, you know, everybody knows who Stephen A. Smith is from First Take. If you listen to Sports Talk Radio, I'm pretty sure you do. Well, my man Stephen A. Smith kind of hinted that the Lakers should not win tonight, because that means that their first opponent would be the Denver Nuggets, the one team that he believes that they just do not match up well with and would not beat. If they lost, then, of course, then beat the winner in the second round of the play-in tournament, the winner of the Warriors and Kings, which is the 9 o'clock game tonight. The Warriors and Kings, whoever loses, they are done. They are out of the tournaments. They are out of the playoffs. Get on out of here. The winner will face the loser of the first game, which is the Lakers or the Pelicans. I will say this. You don't do that. And the Lakers, I agree, match up much better with the Thunder. It would probably behoove them to actually play the Thunder in the first round, because of the situation of the Nuggets are just awesome and Jokic ain't no joker. You know, Michael Porter's hitting things from three. You got dead gum. Man, I mean, like, Jamal Murray's just ready to roll. You know, this team is just nasty. And Mike Malone, again, the fourth member of the Beastie Boys, is one hell of a coach. I do get it. I do understand, like, the thought. But, man, you play, you win, you're in. And the most important thing is guess what? You don't have to play another game. You get rest in between. And you know who your stars are? There's some superstars in Anthony Davis and LeBron James, but they're old. Anthony Davis, I can't believe, played as many games as he did this year. What was it, 72 games he played this year?
It's impressive for him.
I think that's what it was. Actually, I didn't think I was going to mention that because I just know he played over the 65 to be an all-star. But, you know, you had to play 65 games this year to be considered for the postseason awards.
He played in 76 games.
76? Mm-hmm. Dang, I thought I actually went a little high with the 72.
Yeah, how about that? It's first time he's played more than 62 games since the 2017-2018 season.
So, I mean, my man's got miles. He's a baller. LeBron's a baller. They're great. I get it. But, man, also the other thing about the first round is there's a few days of rest in between. This is a staggered situation. Like, there's more days in between than there are down the road when you get into the Western Conference Finals, if they got there. Now, we know what happened last year. But, you know, no offense to Memphis, but I don't see Memphis. being their first round opponent, and I don't see it being a walk in the park. And I will say, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a freak. Chet Holmgren can get things done. This Oklahoma City team, who a lot of people aren't really giving all that much praise and credit to, you might. I know they're young and everything, but damn, dude, they did win 57 games. Minnesota has Ant-Man. I know they're young. They are pretty good. We know about the Clippers. Can they stay healthy? Can Kawhi and Paul George, Russell Westbrook, can they get business done? And then the Dallas Mavericks, the sixth seed, they're pretty damn scary. They are pretty damn scary. I also heard a conspiracy theory that the Denver Nuggets lost the game to the Spurs on purpose because they did not want a second-round matchup possibly with the Denver with the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I don't believe that at all.
I do love a good conspiracy theory.
Dude, the Nuggets don't fear anybody on planet Earth. They don't. But we got a lot of great basketball, and guess what? We're talking NBA at 12 o'clock today, because guess who's coming on to join us?
Well, Zach Boyd.
Oh, my gosh, that's right. I forgot to tell Zach. I'm moving him.
Wow.
To tomorrow.
Wow. I got to go tell him. Oh, John.
Because Terry Davis is going to join
me.
And I'm not the brightest person in the world.
Wow. Well, I'm glad, you know, John, I'm glad that I'm not diligent at my job and haven't tweeted the show out yet, because that would have been a bad mistake. It wouldn't have been my fault.
Just so you know, I thought it.
Just didn't tell anybody.
I just forgot to tell y'all.
Classic.
I meant to tell you. Just so you know, I did open up my phone to send out a text yesterday after the show when I talked with Terry, and then I got distracted. You know how that happens around
here.
Oh,
absolutely.
And then you know what happened? That thought never came back in my head until
right now.
Till right now. So, dead gummit.
Classic.
We got Terry Davis today. Usually it's Zach. We have Zach tomorrow at 12 o'clock, which is going to be great. Today, though, we're going to talk about the exit interviews for the Grizzlies that he was at yesterday. We're going to break down the NBA playoffs. And you know that Terry is a huge Lakers fan, right? Like, loves the Lakers. So I'm going to bring up this whole little conspiracy theory situation. I will say one thing, though. The Pelicans ain't been no joke. They've been extremely nasty, especially of late. Zion's a bad mamma jamma. So we're going to break down that game. We're going to find out who wins. We're breaking down these games. We're breaking down the game at 12:10 that we're playing in baseball. We got a lot of good baseball stuff. But one other little nugget that I wanted to throw out there, something that I'm kind of fascinated about. Did you see the Team USA basketball roster has been dropped?
I did.
Did you know that they're leaving one roster spot open before their July training camp? So somebody can be added.
Yeah.
I am not, you know, I've been listening to, you know, reading the tweets, listening to podcasts, watching the peeps on TV talk about who, you know, everybody feels that, like, just has a different opinion on who they need to add. But I will say, this is a pretty stacked team. Like, the fact that Embiid's going to be playing for us when he could have played for, what was it? He was thinking about going to France and playing with them, wasn't he?
Yeah, I forget what other country he has citizenship.
Dual citizen. I swear, I think it was. That's Rudy who's playing in France with Wimby. But Embiid could have played somewhere else. Anyway, the point is, they have Embiid, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Bam, Holiday, Tatum, Booker, Davis, Edwards, Halliburton, LeBron James. It's a pretty stacked roster. But then I didn't realize how great international competition has become. I looked at some of the other rosters. There are teams that are freaking loaded for this Olympics. The Olympics is in France. It's going to be off the chain. But, dude, the whole world has gotten better. Like, the NBA is just getting more and more difficult, like, by every year in and year out. And this ain't, like, I've just, you know, we want this team to win everything, but it's going to be a tough road to hoe. This ain't like back in the day, remember the Dream Team when you had Michael and Bird and Barkley, Magic. Like, dude, those teams were nasty. This is a totally different animal, but I'm kind of curious, and I always like to ask the text and listener line, Sissy's Log Cabin, the text and listener line, 901-360-8255, 901-360-8255, life's too short for ordinary jewelry. When you look at the roster that they've assembled, they still can add somebody else. Who knows? They might go with another big. They might go with a shooter. They might go with somebody playing a little defense. I don't know. They're going to go with somebody else. But it is a stacked roster. Back in the day, do you – like if you were going to put a line, and I know we can't do this. This is definitely a hypothetical. But that first dream team, does that first dream team rail these guys? Or today's guys just, I mean, MJ, Magic. I mean, that if you go look at that roster. It'll freak you out how nasty and deep it is. And they have everything on it. Against today's roster. And the reason I say, like, I almost automatically, like, of course, go to what I grew up knowing. And, of course, you know, I think Mike's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And we'll talk a little bit about these rosters. I'm going to ask Terry Davis this. Do you not feel like the athletes today, though, are bigger, stronger, and faster? And again, for me, a lot of this comes with baseball, like watching the guys throwing 100 miles an hour. Paul Skeens, who's right now in AAA for the Pirates, threw 13 pitches over 100 miles an hour the other day. And he's in AAA. There was a closer that came in over the weekend, and I can't remember his name. I'd never even heard of him. And he threw 103 miles an hour.
Wow, he...
The athletes today, and I'm being serious, and again, no disrespect to when I grew up. I just feel like they are bigger, they are stronger, sure. They are faster. Technology's gotten better. Training's gotten better. Nutrition's gotten better. The way they shoot the basketball from deep has gotten better. Originally, like immediately when I think about the original Dream Team, and I think about how dominant they were, and they dominated the entire world. I mean, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Charles Barkley. You had Karl Malone and John Stockton. You had No Tippin' Pippin, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Christian Mullins. That team was sick. Like, that's like we're talking, like, listen to all the Hall of Famers that we're talking about when I say that. And those dudes right there, I mean, I think MJ's the greatest thing in the world. But with all the other sports, I mean, the guys are running crazy numbers in the National Football League. They're bigger and stronger and faster than they've ever been. In baseball, you have guys throwing triple digits like it's normal. Go to a batting cage for me. Go in there and hit 60 miles an hour and then bump it up 10 miles an hour, just to 70. The difference in 10 miles an hour will blow your mind. Now imagine 90 being super fast back in the day, and now it's 102 and 103, or in Aroldis Chapman, 105, 106 miles an hour back in the day. I mean, like, it's ridiculous. Now, I definitely think that Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Larry Bird, and these guys could have played in any era. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's harder, I guess what I mean is it's harder for me to judge basketball than it is the NFL. And in baseball, it's just, I mean, now the guys in Major League Baseball, they strike out a lot, but look at the number of home runs that they hit. Listen, Tony Gwynn could have hit in any era. Tony Gwynn can hit anything. He could hit 100 miles an hour. I have no doubt about it. He can hit anything. Ken Griffey Jr., hell, even Pete Rose, who's a disgusting human being and a nasty person, but the dude's the all-time hit king. He could hit probably in any era. But I don't see him hitting the missiles the way that Barry Bonds did or Juan Soto is today, Aaron Judge. It's just a different style of game, but I will say the athletes today are bigger, stronger, faster. That's why... Look at the world records in track and field. Like, in my mind, I would say favor the original 92 Dream Team by 15, bro. We'll smoke this roster. But I'm really wondering, would we really? Dacus, you're a young buck. You never really got to see the 92 Dream Team. You may have seen a couple videos. You didn't grow up in that era.
Read a couple books.
Read a couple books. That's what I'm talking about, like Smart Little Man Over There. Do you – like, I just think that team would beat today's team. And today's team I think is great. But then I also keep thinking about just the NFL, and I think about other sports. And I just think about how today's athlete seems more of a physical specimen now than they ever did 30 years ago.
For sure. I mean, you look at all of the length and the – I mean, guys that are playing, you know, fours right now in the NBA, even some fives in the NBA right now, and they're – dribbling the ball up. I mean, it's a different world.
David Robbins is a bad man with Jamma, but if Kevin Durant pulls him out, it's 7 feet. But then you know what I mean? Like, but he couldn't back him down. I mean, it's just, it is a different game. Charles Barkley wasn't all that big, but he used his big old butt.
Mm-hmm.
Magic was a huge point guard. And he's hilarious.
He is funny.
He is great. He's great with using his mouth. But I just want to know what y'all think. 901-360-8255. Is today's athlete that much more superior that it even affects the game of basketball the way it does, I think, Major League Baseball, the way it does the National Football League? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm telling you right now, Barry Sanders could run any era. There are guys that can do that. I'm talking about the pieces that are around him and what they go through on a regular night and the style of athlete that they play against. I mean, just let's just be real about some of these things. I mean, you go back – like the great 49ers teams with Montana, then Rice, the great Dallas Cowboys teams with Aikman and Irvin and all that stuff, those teams were great. They were so damn good. I mean, they were the best in the world. But, like, the side, like, could you imagine, like, that Ravens defense with Ray Lewis and all them boys going to get, man, that's some nasty suckers, man. I don't know. Let me know what you think again. 901-360-8255. 901-360-8255. Again, life's too short for ordinary jewelry. Now I got to talk about something real important because we haven't talked with David Cobb
in two weeks,
bro.
We haven't talked to him. There's been a national championship played since we talked
to him. Dude, national championship. Mark Pope had a great press conference. He had a great pep rally, and then his whole roster left.
Mm-hmm. Big Z at Arkansas now. Calling the Hogs. Woo pig.
We got that situation. We got so much stuff to talk with David Cobb. He's coming up at 11:30 today, so we're going to break down a little college basketball, some of the moves, what's been going on. I'm going to ask him what he thinks about some of these players that Memphis has been picking up.
And, you know, today's the big day. Transfer portal opens for football players.
Football, yeah. That's right. So it does.
I think I've already seen like five or six Colorado players have entered the portal. I know.
Well, Deion, at least, like Dave was talking about how, you know, and he's right, that you don't have, you're not going to see depth charts be released. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
After the spring games and stuff. But Deion Sanders, one thing he will tell you, if he doesn't want you on that team, just like last year, he will basically say, it's time to get your butt in the portal and go.
Absolutely. 100%. I saw one of Memphis' starting corners jumped in the portal this morning, Diego Brumfield.
I don't understand that one.
I don't know.
I thought he was the starting corner. Is some kid coming taking his spot?
I think that's the likeliest outcome is somebody else has been getting the first team reps in spring ball. But I will say this, Diego, good player, came up from a lower level, little undersized, and that kind of got him in some, you know, awkward situations last year, covering like the deep ball and stuff like that. Good player, but I do think it's because someone else is getting the first team reps.
That's the thing that scares me for the University of Memphis, by the way, who we haven't really talked much about, but they have this is the best opportunity I can remember in a long, long time. Man, since the Cotton Bowl, man, since Gabe Kuhn was playing left tackle for the Memphis Tigers. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
This is an opportunity, like with it expanding to 12 and you have one slot for that non-Power 5, you know, Power four now?
Well, I guess so, yeah. I mean, I guess still the
four,
still group of five.
Group of five.
Yeah.
But now then they're like six group. Never mind. Anyway.
Yeah. I know there's now four. It's a mess, John.
It
don't know.
It is a mess. It is a mess. But there is one slot for the highest ranked team, not in the ACC, Big 12, SEC, or the Big 10. And Memphis has one hell of a shot to be that team this year. Ryan Silverfield's stock has never been higher right now. Dude, he could, like, and I hate to say this, Memphis man, but you know this man's thinking to myself, I'm going to parlay this into a big boy job.
You're right about that.
That's what he's...
Well, and that's the great thing. I don't know. I don't remember how much we talked about his contract on this show, but, you know, it's a... I think it's a really good contract for both him getting more money, getting that sense of stability going forward, but also for the university because there are those clauses in there. If he does leave and takes another job after this season, after next season, you know, Tigers get a good chunk of change. So I think that's huge that they got that contract.
Could you imagine, man, if Memphis... Actually, like, think about it. This just could very well happen. Let's say they're the highest ranked team, not in the SEC, ACC, Big 12, or Big 10. They get that automatic qualifying spot, and somebody like Alabama has a down year, first year, and doesn't make the postseason, and like a Ole Miss makes it. I mean, you could have a Georgia, oh, yeah, Ole Miss, really, maybe Tennessee with Nico doing his thing up there. Like, it would be wild. Like, Memphis would be in. And Nick Saban and his Alabama team that we were just so used to being there. I mean, these are the kinds of wild things that this year in college football, 2024 is going to be awesome.
Well, and the one thing I'm really excited about.
I mean, could you imagine if Ole Miss and Memphis both made the college football?
What if they were matched up against each other? I mean, this place, even better.
This area would be going buck wild.
This station would be divided.
I know where my allegiance is.
I know where your allegiance is.
With my children.
That's right, where your money goes. But one thing I am really excited about this, if Memphis does get into the college football playoffs, you know, that first game is a campus site game. And so they could be going, I mean, who knows where could they could go?
Yeah,
you know? I mean,
Michigan,
Oxford, you know, the sky's the limit. They'd be going into a big time atmosphere, which would be a lot of fun.
We also got to talk about the drafts coming up pretty soon. You know, it's not this Thursday, but next Thursday, the NFL draft.
It creeps up on you.
It does creep on you. We had the WNBA draft last night. Shocker. Caitlin Clark went first. We got so much stuff to get into. Before I take a quick time out, I did want to tell you something that I think is pretty important. This Saturday, you know what's going on, don't you, Dacus?
Absolutely. It's the World Wing Fest, John.
Dead gummit, you're right. It's the 22nd annual World Championship Hot Wing Contest and Festival at River Garden Park. It is full 20 this Saturday. All you have to do is go to worldwingfest.com, get your tickets now. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be two stages with bands. There's going to be teams competing for $10,000 in prizes. There's going to be drinks. There's going to be fun. It's going to be a great atmosphere and a beautiful day. Make sure you get your tickets at worldwingfest.com and you come out and have a great time and you benefit the Ronald McDonald House. It's just it's a great day. It's all for a great cause, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Go to worldwingfest.com. Grab your tickets now. David Cobb, he's on the other side, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. I'm so excited, man. It's been 2 weeks since I talked to my good buddy, David Cobb.
Sure has. Feels like a lifetime.
Feels so long, man. I miss him. But we got him today. We're going to talk a little college basketball, a little college football. David is from with CBSSports.com, if you did not know. I call him the greatest sports writer on planet Earth. I think a lot of people agree with me. I think most people agree with me. DC, what's up, brother?
Wow, that's just incredible, man. Thank you. Thank you so much. I wish you were on, like, the Pulitzer Prize, like, award committee, and then, you know, maybe I could win one.
Dude, we're going to have to work on this, man. I've always wanted to be like on somebody's board or something. I love to vote on things. I love voting.
Yeah.
So I'm in.
That's great.
So I'm in. I got to ask you, by the way, real quick, because we haven't talked. I mean, we haven't even talked since the national championship games. Do you know that?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's been a long time. We skipped 1 week. We've been talking every Tuesday at 11:30 for like how long now? What, 5 years?
At least.
Probably longer
than that, I was thinking. But yeah, man, and there's so many things that are going on. Like, I mean, Dan Hurley and that deadgum UConn team and what he's been able to do. First thing I just wanted to ask you is, how is it that Dan, because he made the comment that he doesn't go out there and get neon players. He goes, I don't go out there and get players. I go get an NBA talent, but I get guys who are about team, who are selfless, who can be coached hard, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds very easy. But, I mean, there are a lot of neon players out there. How is he able to do it? How is he able to put these two rosters back-to-back? You lose five of your top eight scorers from the season before that you won the national championship, your top three scorers, and then this year's team might have been even better.
I think a lot of it is about the relationships that you have throughout the basketball world, because if you want to find those team-first guys, those guys who are willing to be coached, those guys who are unselfish, you can't necessarily do that through a spreadsheet or through advanced analytics. You can only do that by talking to people who know those players and can tell you whether or not those players have the character that's going to be required to like fit in a system like that. And the only way you're going to know that stuff is by talking to the people who know those players, and be that a high school coach, an AAU coach, a college coach, a personal trainer, whatever, and you know, typically, you're only going to know those people through having deep grassroots level connections, both, you know, for yourself in Dan Hurley's case, or for your staff. And that's another underrated aspect of what Dan Hurley has built at UConn, is the staff that he has put together. The assistant coaches there have been with him for years now, and they've really built something together that I think works really, really well for them.
Man, it's definitely working for them. And of course, the thing that I thought about when, you know, Dan was doing this, you know, talking about the neon players and et cetera, and how they tell on themselves when you're in conversation with them. And he did talk just about it, like you said, about how you got to find out who this person really is. I'm kind of curious, is that the problem with maybe Memphis last year? Did they have too many neon players on their roster?
Yeah, I think you can't just throw a collection of talent together and then expect it all to work out. Like, you've got to do some level of behind-the-scenes homework to understand if a guy is going to accept a role. And how you figure that out is difficult. Dan Hurley might be a good reader of people. If he says they tell on themselves, what that probably means is that he's pretty good at reading between the lines when he's recruiting a kid. And you know, that's sort of a gift, and maybe not every coach has that. So, with Memphis in particular, talent acquisition has never been the problem. And I don't expect it to ever be a problem, because people are going to want to play for Penny Hardaway. Memphis has a pretty strong tradition of basketball names that have come through this school who have gone on to do a lot of really good things, right? And so acquiring talent should never be the problem at Memphis, and it's not the problem for Penny. But getting that talent to work together, I don't think you can just assume that it's going to happen. I think you got to have some level of investigation on the front end to decipher, okay, yes, these guys would work together, or okay, these guys are low ego enough to play together. And that's why now it's like you got Haggerty, you got Danger, you got this 40% three-point shooter, coming in from Wichita State. So, like, now you got to go find some Nick Jourdain. You got to go find some role players, some guys who are willing to be off the ball offensively, some guys who are willing to play defense. And because if you just go out and try to find eight players who score 20 points a game, that's it's not going to work when you try to put them on the court and field a coherent team.
And Colby Rogers is the kid from Wichita State. He sounds like a country singer, doesn't he?
Yeah, Yeah, no, he does. Yeah, I was blanking on his name there for a second. But, yeah, I mean, he's a good addition. And, like, yeah, I like what they're doing so far. It's just, like, now you got to go out and find the players who fit. Not necessarily the players who scored 20 a night at their last school. Because those guys don't always know how to play without the ball in their hands. They don't always know how to take on a challenging defensive assignment. So, I'm curious to see where they go from here. I think they're off to a good start, though.
They are off to a pretty good start. You know, Haggerty, a lot of people are really, really excited about him. Colby Rogers shooting over 40%. I'm curious, though, Danger, from, you know, like from everything that I'm seeing, he wasn't – I mean, again, and I'm also now very biased because of what we saw with Brown last year and Malcolm Dandridge. I mean, Jalen Duren, he ain't – you know, that ain't Jalen Duren walking through the door. Danger's like talking about losing a bunch of weight. I feel like I've gone through this before. Is he going to be somebody who actually can really contribute to this team, or is this going to be one of those 50-50 shots?
He better be because of what they're going to have to pay him. And it's like Dane Danger in the right system is a good enough player to be all AAC.
Whoa.
Maybe not first team, but I believe – look at the efficiency. Look at the skill there. I mean, he was a really good player at Illinois 2 years ago, and the only reason Dane Danger is transferring from Illinois is because they play a system that doesn't suit what he does. And so I hope that it works out between Dane Danger and Memphis. I think on the surface it's a little bit of a sketchy fit because Memphis likes to go fast. They prefer athletic bigs. They prefer bigs who can catch that lob.
Mm-hmm.
They prefer bigs who can get out on the perimeter and defend. Look at Naquan Tomlin. Look at Precious Achiuwa. Look at even Jalen Duren wasn't a back-to-the-basket, game-by-post-touch on the block type of big. That's more what Dane Danger is. If utilized properly, Dane Danger is an all-AAC player. And I think you could have said the same for Jordan Brown. And maybe there were some other factors at play there. Maybe he deserves more of that blame than Penny. I'm not saying, you know, that I know every ins and out and every detail of the situation. But what's going to be different about the Dane Danger thing? Because if they want to get the most out of this guy, a guy who was highly coveted in the portal, they're going to have to let the big dog eat a little bit. Because this guy is built like DJ Burns. He ain't built like Naquan Tomlin. And
no.
If you try to run that guy for 30 minutes a game, it's going to be a disaster. And so, you know, are they going to tailor the way they play it all to fit him? I don't know. But I'm real curious about it. Because he's a really good player. And he's a good pickup. But how is it all going to work out in that Memphis system?
Well, I'm glad you understand my fear because I've just never seen Penny play with a guy like him with his back to the basket. You know, I've seen the Malco thing go terrible. I saw the Brown thing last year was just awful. And we just haven't seen him ever play through his center and with a player with his back to the basket. So, you know, that's why when Dane Danger was coming to Memphis, I'm like, man, is he like really going to be playing like even 20 minutes a game?
I think it's a questionable decision on Danger's part. I don't blame Memphis for picking up a really good player from the portal, but I think
like go from a bad system in Illinois to possibly a bad system in Memphis.
Yes, and I think he's doing it. I mean, I don't know, but I would imagine he's doing it because of the fact that he's going to get paid. And it's like, all right, but like, is it going to benefit you from a basketball standpoint to go and go into this system that's kind of similar to the one that you're leaving? So I don't know. I'm curious because I really believe you go and look at the efficiency, the skill, the size. Like Dane Danger is a really good player. And I initially had him ranked in my top 60 transfers, and then I dropped him out because I'm just not sure how good of a fit he is at Memphis. So I got P.J. Haggerty up there pretty high. I mean, he's got 3 years left to play. Was super productive at Tulsa, so I really like him. Colby Rogers, I don't have ranked, not because I don't think he's good. It's just, it's hard to, I mean, there's 1,500 players in the portal, and I've only got 70 of them ranked. So, I mean, only the cream of the cream are in there. But he's a good addition as well.
All right. Well, we've been talking a little Memphis basketball with David Cobb from CBSSports.com. Though I do need to know the stories that have been huge, especially around the SEC. You know, Cal leaves and goes to Arkansas. Then you have Mark Pope goes to Kentucky. He's hilarious. He's funny. He's goofy. He was a great pep rally. But now his whole team's gone. Next year, Arkansas going to be a lot better than Kentucky, or can Mark Pope save it?
Yeah, it's interesting. their rosters right now combined have about three players for next season. So Cal picked up his first commitment yesterday, Big Z. He's going to go from Kentucky to Arkansas and follow Cal. That's a good addition. I think he could be really, really good with a full year of strength and conditioning and getting acclimated to the SEC. I think he's got a lot of skill. And then Mark Pope got his first commitment today, former BYU kid. So neither one of them is off to a blazing hot start in terms of putting a roster together. But I actually think John Calipari has a little bit of a leg up because he's going to get a lot of these freshmen who were committed to Kentucky to flip to Arkansas. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets DJ Wagner to commit to Arkansas. And so, you know, Mark Pope's going to get a few of these BYU guys who were with him last year to come to Kentucky, but, you know, they're kind of stepping up a level in competition in terms of what's expected when you go from a BYU to a Kentucky. So I'm going to give John Calipari a little bit of an edge at the moment. I think Mark Pope has a bit more work to do.
Did John leaving Lexington basically pull all of the SEC up a little bit? Because one thing I noticed when John left Lexington and went to Arkansas, first thing that comes out even before he gets his contract, oh, Arkansas is going to commit $6 million to NIL. Then all of a sudden, you know, Ole Miss is freaking out, and they're talking with Chris Beard, and they raise the amount of money that they're going to give to their college basketball team. And then Auburn says they're raising the amount of money they're giving to their basketball team. And now everybody and their grandmother is upping the NIL. And it all seems like the first domino that fell, that was Cal going to Arkansas and then promising $6 million of NIL. I mean, the SEC is already strong enough, but did this actually improve the league as a whole?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think it does when you start throwing around those numbers, because then it gives every other coach in the league a hard piece of evidence to take to the director of their collective or to their athletic director and say, yeah, look, Arkansas is paying John Calipari $8 million and they still have $6 million a year in NIL left. You know, we only have $1 million a year in NIL or whatever it is. And so, you know, once we start throwing around numbers and budgets like that, then it sort of forces everybody to rise and get within that range or that standard. So, yeah, the SEC is investing big in basketball, and this is where you start to see the might, the flexibility of the SEC in the Big Ten in this era. It's going to separate a little bit from the ACC and the Big 12, because not only do those teams have to come up with the money to pay their coaches from TV contracts that are significantly less, but then they got to have enough booster support left over not only pay their coaches, but to pay the players as well. And so that's where you start to see the Big Ten and the SEC separate. And I think the Big East is in pretty good shape, too, because most of those schools don't play football. So they don't have to invest in NIL resources for 85 football players. All of their booster support can go to the 13 scholarship basketball players. So when you're talking about getting paid and the NIL resources, the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big East have a little bit of an advantage on the Big 12 and the ACC.
One other question about the situation. Are Kentucky fans going to, who are so ecstatic about Cal going out the door, is this going to be, like, do you think Mark Pope's going to work out, or is this going to be a Billy Gillespie situation?
I think he's a good coach. I think he knows what to do with players. Like, he knows how to get the most out of a roster. And then the next question is, well, can he recruit? Well, heck yeah, he can recruit. He's at Kentucky, so he can recruit. Kentucky can pay. Like, that's what it's about. Kentucky has the budget. Kentucky is the New York Yankees in terms of the ability to attract free agents. Because why do people go to the Yankees? It's not because they want to play for Joe Torre.
Money.
Exactly. And why are people going to go to Kentucky? Not because they really care a whole lot about playing for Mark Pope, but because Kentucky can pay them. And once they get there, oh, wow, Mark Pope actually is a pretty good coach. He might actually be a better X's and O's coach than John Calipari was. So I think he will succeed. It depends kind of, I guess, what your definition of success is. But if it's getting to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament,
oh, he'll do that.
Yeah, I think Mark Pope's going to do that. Yeah,
I love it. All right, now, you are one of the busiest people I know in the world. I mean, college basketball just wraps up, and guess what opens today, man? It's the spring transfer portal window. It's wide open, baby, for football. What do you expect in the day? Like, what do you got coming down the pipe? Are you working on this?
Yeah, actually, we got a live blog up right now at CBSSports.com with updating continuously with a lot of the big name entrants and whatnot. So, I mean, as of today, it's been a little quieter the last few hours than I guess maybe I expected. But you know, you saw Caden Proctor officially get in the portal. He was the Alabama offensive lineman who was going to transfer back home and go to Iowa. And then he changed his mind, and now he's going back to Alabama. So that's kind of a wild one. And then at Arkansas, basically their backup QB is transferring out, clearing the way for Taylen Green to be the starter there, the Boise State transfer. So a couple interesting things like that. But, man, there will be more to come. I think this is, what, a 15-day window for guys to get in the portal. So the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a lot of news on the college football front.
What do you think about, by the way, we had the spring, spring madness, spring games, whatever the hell we're calling the spring situation now these days. It's come and gone. And one thing I thought was extremely wild is Walker Howard's not been named the starting quarterback for Ohio State.
Yeah, well, that is interesting. But they've got talent there in that room. Julian Sain, true freshman there. Then they got Devin Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He's back, so that's interesting because you know why would you leave Kansas State?
No kidding.
To go to a place where you're not assured of the starting job. However, I will say this: in this day and time, it's going to be increasingly rare for coaches to name a starting quarterback after spring practice
because of the transfer portal.
Exactly. You want to have the illusion of a competition so that whoever's in second place or third place doesn't leave because you still need those guys. You got to have good backup quarterbacks in college football. And if you say, so-and-so is my starter, and then the backup leaves, well, then you're in a tough spot. So you want to pretend like it's an open competition up until about 2 weeks before the season, even if in your mind you knew all along, even before spring practice, you know, who your starter was going to be. So that's probably some gamesmanship from Ryan Day and Chip Kelly. But I don't think you go out and get a Will Howard from the portal if you're not going to start him, and I would expect him to be the starter.
All right. I just had to ask because I was kind of curious, man. I know you're a busy man. What are you working on? What's coming down the pipe, homie?
Yeah, we'll see. Got some NFL draft stuff I'm working on for next week.
Oh, wow.
Kind of from the college perspective. So, yeah, I'm going to dive into that. And then, I'm still – probably my favorite thing that I do is work on these transfer portal rankings. And it's tough. And you look back a year later and you're like, wow, I got a lot wrong and I got a lot right. And hopefully I get more right than wrong this year in the basketball portal rankings. But that's sort of my big thing this time of year. And I enjoy it because it keeps me updated on where everybody's going, which is tough. I'll be kind of doing a lot, both football and basketball, these next couple weeks.
Man, do me a favor and figure out who's better, Marvis. Who do you think is going to be better by next week, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers?
I'll put in some work on that one for you. I'll have an answer.
Thanks, big homie. Be blessed, David.
All right, take care.
That is David Cobb, CBSSports.com. You can check him out on Twitter at David W. Cobb. And he's with me usually every single Tuesday at 11:30. But he had a doctor's appointment.
Those pesky doctors.
At least he can get in to
at
see
he
a
got
doctor.
One, that's
right. You know, I'm trying to get a doctor to see me. If you're a doctor and you want to like to see me, come on, 901-360-8255. Let me know you're a doc. I got insurance, bro. I have a job. I work.
A risky situation, though, just throwing that out there on the radio. You get somebody call you, say they're a doc. Next thing you know, you're waking up in a bathtub and you got a kidney missing, you know?
Damn.
So risky.
You know what? You're right. And I don't even think people have been stealing kidneys as much as they used
to know.
Back when I was young.
Might be on the rise.
Whew, spring break, man. People were stealing kidneys back in the day, man.
You ever had a kidney stolen?
No.
That's good.
No, I got two of them still, but we got to take a quick time out. Don't forget, we're talking a lot of NBA with Terry Davis at noon. I got Hardenwood because it feels so good. But on the other side, I'm telling you who we're betting on. We got 12-10 baseball. The winner is going to be revealed on the other side. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. Happy Tuesday to everybody out there. You know what Tuesdays make me think of?
Tipsy Tuesdays.
I like that, but I was thinking Tito's.
Oh, Tito's Tipsy Tuesday. How about that?
I mean, I'm just like, you know what? There's nothing like a little Tito's. You know, it's a Tuesday afternoon. We got day baseball on. I'm about to tell you who we're going to play today, by the way. The Rangers and the Tigers. Tigers are on the road in Detroit. Detroit's 3-5 at home. Rangers 4-3 on the road. John Gray is pitching for Texas. Casey Mize, the former number one overall pick from the 2018 draft, is pitching for Detroit. Who's going to win? Well, I'm going to tell you in just 1 second. But again, I got to remind you, Tito's. Fly fans, you lemons. Don't freak out. Don't fret. Don't stress. Just make a lemon drop. Make sure it's with the best. That's Tito's handmade vodka. It is crafted and distilled in the United States down in Austin, Texas. 6 times distilled, then stilled. In classic copper pots. That's why it's got such a unique flavor. Slightly sweet with that black pepper note. It balances everything out, whether you're crafting a cocktail or drinking it neat. Get your Tito's on today. Now, who are we taking? Tigers or Rangers? Tigers or Rangers? Tigers or Rangers? We are not going to put a full unit on this junt. We're just going to take it for a little bit. I like to call a touch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just to get our juices flowing. So like half a unit. If you're a dollar player, just play, you know, 50. If you're a G player, you're a big baller, send me a little money. Just do like 500.
And if you're like a Bryant player, then just put like $5 on it.
Yeah. Just do that. Hey, baby, you know what? That's actually probably the smart way to do it. But I need just a little bit of juice. And sure. I like John Gray, man. He's making his 4th start of the season. He was roughed up by the Cubs, who I took last night, who won in extra innings. He gave up 5 earned runs in that game over 4 frames. Then he had to go against, you know, a couple decent, you know, outings, but it was the Athletics and the Astros who were playing terrible at that time. He does have a decent swing and miss rate. I do like Gray, but I like this Rangers lineup. I like that it's a little bit day action. I'm laying the 120. For a half a unit, and we're getting a little daytime baseball going on. Let's go, Texas Rangers. On the other side, we got to talk about what we're doing tonight. Because I hope tonight you're all up in them hoops. The NBA playoffs, the play-in tournament starts tonight. It's the West Coast version because you got the Lakers and the Pelicans. By the way, they are in New Orleans tonight, so people are going to be getting bucked down in New Orleans. You know they don't play no games. It's going to be wild. New Orleans is a 1.5-point favorite. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, the Lakers need to lose it. That way they don't have to play the Nuggets. They just don't match up well against the Nuggets. I feel like the Lakers don't match up well against the Pelicans. I kind of feel like LeBron and AD going to get this bad boy. Now, the Grizzlies gave them a hell of a time, but Scottie Pippen Jr. ain't playing for the Pelicans. G.G. Jackson ain't playing for the Pelicans. We'll talk about who we're going to bet on. We're going to figure this out with super Laker fan Terry Davis on the other side. And then the nightcap is the Warriors and the Kings at 9 o'clock. The loser is eliminated from the playoffs. So their whole playoff experience will be only one game. Terry Davis next, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.